You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
You know, everything we do should have God's approval. When we go to places, when we want to enter into a business agreement, if we want to marry somebody, everything we do, we should get God's approval. And not do things in our own strength and our own ability. Amen? Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Do you acknowledge God in all your ways? And He shall direct your paths. So you might be busy with something that's not the right thing, but as you acknowledge God and say, God, this is what I want to do. Does this have your approval? God will direct you. Amen. Proverbs 16 verse 3 says, before you do anything, put your trust totally in God and not in yourself. Then every plan you make will succeed. If you want to be successful in life, you're going to have to be extremely focused. If you want to advance and allow God to take you from where you are to where He wants you to be, you're going to have to get His opinion on what to do, how to do it. Can I have one amen? Amen? It's not what we want, it's what He wants. His will be done, not our will. Amen? In the Bible, in the book of Luke, chapter 19, Jesus tells a parable and He says, 10 of His servants came to Him and He gave each one of them a mina. He gave each one of them a talent and a gift. 10 of them each received one. That's what the Bible teaches us. And He says, I'm going to go away and then I'm going to come back and you're going to have to give account of the gift that I've given you. Turn to the person next to you and say, whether you like it or not, you are gifted. Even if it's just one gift, you're gifted. And He says the following, He says to them, do business until I come back. The King James says, occupy until I come back. So what is the instruction? The instruction is be busy with what God wants you to do until He comes back. Amen? Turn to the person next to you and say, do business. This is not a word for you to start your own business. Amen? Don't come and say to the pastor, I didn't say that. I said, be busy with God's business. Amen? For some of you, it's to stay where you are. For others, it is to have your own business. But the Bible says, He said, do business until you come back. Now, when God says do business, He's given you a gift and He wants you to multiply. In Genesis 9:7, He gives the instruction. He says, be fruitful and multiply and bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it. So what is God saying? He says, I want you to be fruitful, then I want you to multiply, and after you've multiplied, I want you to multiply in that. So you're going to have to be fruitful. God blesses the work of your hands. So many of you are going to have to put your hand to something for God to start to bless it. It's not a matter of just standing like this and say, Lord, bless my hands. Bless my hands. Oh, Lord, bless my hands and give me a job. Lord, bless. No, sometimes you have to go and do something and put your hands to it. And not just wait at home for your hands to be blessed. Some of your hands are so blessed, I mean, you can just go out and put your hands on something and you'll see it will be fruitful and multiply. Amen. So He says, go out and occupy and do business. And then after a while, He came back. And we see the first person that came, He said, the one that I had is now 10. And the other one said, the one that I had is now 5. And He gives them a compliment. He says, well done. The Bible doesn't tell us that they invested or what did they do, but we just know that what God had placed in their care, they multiplied it. If you go think about it, 1 to 10, that's 900% growth. Turn to the person as you say, that's big. That means God wants a huge return on what He's deposited on the inside of you. Not just to play it safe, but to do something. 1 to 5, that's 400% growth. Anybody who's in business, if you've got that kind of growth and increase in your business, you'll be happy. Amen? Faithfulness is directly linked to fruitfulness. So if you want to be more fruitful, become more faithful. Can I have one amen? What does that mean? It means you're going to have to work hard. Amen? Most people miss great opportunities in life because on the back of those great opportunities is usually a person, or it's written in overalls. You know what an overall is? It's when you're going to get dirty. And at the back of the overall, it's printed hard work. And many people don't want to work hard. They just want it easy. But you're going to have to work hard. Amen? And then the Bible tells us the third servant came and he played it safe. Luke 19 verse 20. Then another came saying, Master, here is your mina, which I have kept, but I've put it away in a handkerchief. Can I tell you something? Playing it safe is not the Jesus way. He wants you, what he has given you, not just to put it away, but he wants that which he's given to you to multiply, to increase, and to multiply in it. Think about this. He didn't lose it. Turn to the person next to you and say, he didn't lose it. He didn't run away with it. He kept it safe. He went and he buried, put it in a handkerchief and he buried it. He had a very good excuse. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to do it. So I'd rather just kept it safe because I know you would require it of me. I feared, is what the Bible says. For I feared you because you are an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit and you reap what you have not sown. Turn to the person next to you and say, you have a gift. Can I tell you something? If God has given you a gift and you're not using it and you bury it, if I read this, Jesus did not listen to his excuses. Your excuses might work with your boss, with your mom, with your dad, but your excuses with what God has given you will not work with God. Say, Aina. Look, I can preach something to tickle your ears and make you feel good, but I want you to finish strong. And you have to know that what God has given you, you have to use it. A matter of fact, you know what Jesus called this man that buried it? He called him wicked. Turn to the person next to you and say, Aina. Luke 19, 22. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. He says, you know that I require these kind of things. You know I'm going to ask you to be fruitful. You know I've given you the ability to be successful, to multiply. What have you done with it? You should know that if God placed something in your hands, it has to multiply. What has God placed in your hands? Turn to the person that you say, what has God placed in your hands? Can I tell you something? The handkerchief that he had received was not to put the money in and to bury it. The handkerchief is not a burial cloth. The handkerchief's purpose is to wipe the sweat off your brow when you are working hard to multiply it. When you don't understand the use of something, you'll abuse it. It will become an abnormal use. Sometimes God has placed the things in our hands to be successful, but we don't use it. We use it for what fits us. He misused the handkerchief. Turn to the person next to you and say, don't misuse your handkerchief. Instead of using it to wipe the sweat, he used it to bury the gift that God had given him. Turn to the person next to you and say, don't bury your gift. Can I tell you something? God has deposited things on the inside, and sometimes we don't know how to multiply it immediately, or we cannot see how is everything going to work out. A lot of times in your 20s, when that happens, you say, God, I know you've called me for great things, but I don't know how everything is going to work out. The way that you start with that is just doing everything that you can with all your heart as unto the Lord. You know what I tell my kids, what I tell my staff? I say, here's some good advice. The best two hands to do any job is your own two hands. Can I have one amen? Amen. The best job, the best hands to do any job is your own two hands. So if you can do something yourself, then do it. And do it as unto the Lord. But when you have an attitude like, this is not my job. This is not my job description. Am I talking to the right people here? Can I tell you something? At your workplace, your boss or your supervisor or your manager is looking for those who will go beyond their job description. You want God to take you from where you are to where He wants you to be. You're trusting God to be maybe a manager or a CEO. You don't become a CEO by doing the bare minimum. You become that by doing more than what is required. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're going to have to work hard. So whatever you do in the marketplace, do it as unto the Lord. Do it as if God is watching you, because God is watching you. Colossians 3 verse 23 says, and whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of an inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you what we need? We need people of heart. That when God gives you one gift, you say, God, I'm going to use this to the best. Because God chooses grace rather than works, so that no man should boast. God chooses grace rather than works, that the person with the one talent can also be successful. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strongest, but opportunity and chance comes to everybody. And if you're not looking up for that opportunity, you can miss it. You must be ready to grab it when it comes your way. I heard somebody once said, opportunity is a racing horse with a ponytail in front of its head running towards you. If you don't grab it and jump on that horse, it's going to run past you and somebody else will jump on it. Turn to the person if you say, watch out for the horse with the ponytail. You know what sometimes happens? People get so busy with their own things, their own agendas. And they're wiping off the sweat from their own jobs, their families, their careers. And they miss what God wants to do in them, with them, and through them. What are you using the handkerchief for? Just for yourself? Or are you using it to advance the kingdom of God? You know, one of the most challenging scriptures in the Bible for me, Luke 12, talks about the same parable, the gifts and everything. Luke 12, verse 21. So is he who lays up treasure for himself. So what is he talking about? He says, don't use the handkerchief just for yourself. Don't use the gifts that God has given you just to enrich yourself. Don't use that blessing just to be a blessing to yourself, but be a blessing to others. He says, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. The gifts, the abilities that God has given us is not how rich we are on this earth, but how rich are we towards God. Can I have one amen? Turn to the person next to you and say, I don't like that. Say, I want to be blessed. But I'm also called to be a blessing. Why did that go quiet now? Turn to the person next to you and say, you are blessed to be a blessing. Family, listen to you. You know what's going to happen to the church if we don't get our mindset right? You're going to come to church just to receive a blessing and not be a blessing. Then you start to see the church is here to bless me. And yes, we want to bless you, we want to encourage you. But God has called us to be a blessing. That's the responsible use of blessing. It's not just for you to come here and to receive a blessing. Oh, that's very encouraging word. I feel not good, I can go out. No, if you've received the word that has encouraged you, go out and encourage somebody else. Turn to the person next to you and say, be blessed to be a blessing. Can I tell you something? I'm just talking now about the first part. You know what's the most important gift that God gives to us? It's not silver and gold. It's people. People are more precious than silver and gold. You know what's the gifts that people give us? As a husband, God gives your wife as a gift. Husbands, give me amen. Your wife is a gift. Your children are gifts. If you're a connect group leader, the people in that connect group are gifts that God has given you. As a pastor, the congregation are gifts that God has given. And I have to take care of that and make sure that you grow in the things of the Lord. Not a pastor outwardly, a pastor in heart. The minor in the Bible talks about everything. It represents everything that God has given you. Gifts, ability, wisdom, resources, people, family members. They're your gifts. And you have to make sure that they grow and increase and multiply. Turn to the person next to you and say, this is a big responsibility. You know, can I tell you something? As a pastor, do I love God and people more than the ministry and the building and all of that? That's the test. Loving God and loving people. Can I tell you something? When I started out as a pastor, let me confess something to you. When I started out as a pastor, the Lord said to me, people don't naturally love the way that I love. I'm not saying you don't love. I'm saying, but to naturally love people the way that God loves doesn't sit in a lot of people. Turn to the person that you say, Aina. Say, that's the truth. It's the truth. So God challenged me. He said, go on your face and ask me for that love. Because whatever you ask, I'm going to give. And I prayed for a year. The only prayer I prayed every morning when we prayed, Lord, give me a real love for people. Grant me the grace to be able to love the way that you love. The ability and the grace to love, to be able to forgive the way that you forgive. To love people, to be a pastor after God's own heart. I still make mistakes. But I'm really trying. I thank God for my wife that also teaches me and helps me. Amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, you must have a love for people. You know, Philippians 2 verse 20. Paul says, I've got nobody who will naturally care for your state. Nobody sincerely cares for people, but I've got one, and that's Timothy. Turn to the person next to you and say, be the one to care for people. Paul says, I've got nobody. No one that thinks like me to love God's people. I only found one in my ministry, Paul. Aina. That means the majority of them were in ministry for themselves, for what they could get out of it, and not to love God's people and not to love God. Can I tell you something? There's a gift that God has given all of us. Romans 5 verse 5, you can see. He says, God has poured His love into our hearts. So that means God has given you the gift of love. Are you loving? Are you loving God? Are you loving people? Why is it important? Because to love is the biblical pattern. Most of us will come and say, I'll serve in church. Because I'm serving in church, you know I love you. No, that's not the Bible way. The Bible says through love, serve. First love. If you love somebody, it's easy to serve her. It's easy to serve my wife because I love her. It's easy to serve my children because I love them. It's easy for me to serve this church because I love the church. I love you. It's easy. So if you love, you'll serve. Turn to the person next to you and say, Aina. Say, I'm going to share this with somebody that always wants to serve, but I don't know they don't love me. Who wants to throw that stone? No. Jesus said, this is the way it's going to work. John 13:1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come and that He should depart from the world to His Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. Turn to the person next to you and say, Jesus is going to love you to the end. John 13, he says, this is the commandment that I give you, that you should love one another. By this, people will know that you are my disciples by the love that you have for one another. Can I show you something? Jesus loved, then he served, then he taught deep revelation. That's the Jesus order. Turn to the person next to you and say, first love, then serve, then teach them. You know what we want to do? The mistake that we can make as pastors, we want to stand here and teach you what to do. Then serve, and then love. First love. Turn to the person next to you and say, first love. You have the gift of love on the inside. This is the question that Jesus asked Peter. He said, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? He says, this is how you qualify for ministry, is by loving God. Because if you love God, that love will overflow to people. A new commandment I give you, love. Turn to the person next to you and say, love. Family, listen to me. In the last days, who of you believe that we're living in the last days? You know what the Bible says about the last days? The Bible says, in the last days, the love of many will grow cold. Grow cold. And if your love grows cold, you have to check it very quickly. Because faith is the only thing that pleases God. But it's faith that works through love. Come on. I hope I'm challenging some people here. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 verse 1, he says, if I have faith to move mountains and I make sacrifices that blows people's minds, but I do not have love, he says, I'm nothing. He says, what I'm doing is nothing because it's not motivated by love. Turn to the person next to you and say, love God and love people. Ministry without love becomes a performance. Ministry without love becomes a performance. We first love, then we serve, then we teach. Turn to the person next to you and say, Ena. This is the Jesus way. So why did the servant hide his talent? Because he feared. He feared the master. He had a wrong view of the master. If you have a wrong view of the master, you will not be able to live out your gift in the way that you should. If you think he's there to punish you, to hurt you, to take something away from you, you will not multiply and increase that gift. Let me tell you something. The mere fact that Jesus has given you a gift before you've done anything is grace. Turn to the person next to you and say, a grace has been bestowed upon you. God has given you a gift. So the question we have to ask ourselves, with what God has given me to encourage people, to motivate people, to build up people, am I the person that's adding or subtracting? Am I dividing or multiplying with what God has placed on the inside of me? Because when Jesus comes back, he will demand an account of us with what we've done with our gifts. And we have to use it in the right way. Turn to the person next to you and say, use your gift. A.W. Tozer says, the most important thing about any individual is what they believe about God. If you believe that God has blessed you with a gift and that he is ready to help you and support you to multiply that gift, you'll behave in that way. But if you believe God is angry with you and he doesn't want to help you, then you'll behave in that way. Turn to the person next to you and say, Jesus wants to help you. How do we know that? Because he came and helped us when we didn't even know that we needed help. Can I tell you what I've seen in church? We thank God for the person with the one talent that becomes 10 and the 5 talent. But you know what makes a church successful? Is the person with the one talent taking responsibility. Because when you've got one talent and you're just holding on to that one little thing, Your mindset can often be, I'm not going to do anything. Let the person with the 5 or the 10 do it. Turn to the person next to you, say, that's wrong. You have to use what God has given you and allow it to increase and to multiply. The greater responsibility rests upon those with the one talent. But when the person with the one talent is faithful, then God can multiply that. He can increase that and he can cause that to multiply. Turn to the person next to you and say, be faithful. Can I be honest with you? I don't think I'm one of the best preachers. But what God has given me, I take it serious. And I say, God, what you've given me, if it's one talent, help me, give me the grace. Manifest your strength in my weakness to use it to the best of my ability. When the word of God says something, I try and stay to that. I make this the standard. And that's why there's hope for people like me to be a pastor, to have a church, and to teach people. So you don't have to be the best speaker. Articulate every word right. But if you've got a heart for God and a heart for God's people, and you say, Lord, let that love increase. It's the love of God when it starts to manifest that makes all things possible. So if you've got a calling and you want to do something for God, I assure you, the greatest commandment that the Bible says, love God and love His people. If you do that, you'll be successful. The person who's doing an ordinary job, if you're a hard worker, wiping the sweat off your brow, God approves of it. A matter of fact, what you are doing there, God will multiply it. As you are faithful with that, there's a promise from heaven that there will be a reward. Turn to the person next to you and say, there's a life hereafter. A lot of things that we do is not just for this life. The carnally minded lives just for this life. But the one who lives for God, being led by the Holy Spirit, he knows there's a life hereafter. How you view God will determine what you will do for Him here. It's not just all about us, but it's how many people's lives we can change. Amen. So let me close with this. In conclusion, whether you like it or not, God has given you a gift. You have a responsibility to use that gift. A matter of fact, when I look at this, I say, God, there was a person that came and had a 900% increase in what God had given him. In what God has given you, if God gives you the grace to have like 900% growth, that means you just stand out like that above other people. When God blesses you in that way, there's a responsible use of blessing. It's not just all for you, but it's there to advance the kingdom of God. Amen? God has placed the ability on the inside of you to be fruitful, to increase and to multiply. That means God is going to do far more abundantly above whatever you could think or dream or imagine. Be faithful in what God has entrusted to you. If you want to be faithful in what you do, be a person of heart. Amen? You know, I love my wife. She teaches the band when they sing, sing with all your heart. And if you're going to make a mistake, make the mistake with all your heart. But then say sorry with all your heart and then go on. Amen? But today people like is half-hearted when they even make a mistake. They'll argue with you and reason if it's really a mistake. Well, you know it's a mistake. If you're going to make a mistake, make a passionate mistake. But then be passionate to repent and be passionate to go on. Turn to the person next to you and say, be a person of heart. God rewards people that are faithful. Be the person to first pick up the paper. Have that kind of an attitude. You know, when we pray in the mornings before the church service, if I see a paper lying, I don't walk and say, oh, there's ushers, they should pick it up. If my hands can pick it up, I pick it up. Turn to the person next to you and say, if your hands can do it, let your hands do it. Because it's an attitude of, I'm there to serve and not just to be served. Jesus came to this earth to serve us. Amen? I think the question that I ask myself, and even when I was preparing this, when Jesus comes back, will I hear, well done, good and faithful servant. What I've entrusted to you, you've multiplied it. You've caused it to increase. Or have I just been hiding it in a handkerchief? You know what's the good news? Then to the person next to you, say, there's still time. What I mean, there's still time. There's still time for many of you to go and dig up the handkerchief with the coin that you've buried. Turn to the person that you say, there's still time. I don't want everybody to come and audition for the band. I want some people to come and say, I want to usher as well. Amen. I want some people to say, I want to come and clean the toilets as well. Amen. Is that okay? I was a toilet cleaner for very long. When we started the church, in the school hall especially, washed the toilets until the ushers told me, please, you can now stop doing that. We'll take over from now. Amen. Be that person to say, what is it that I can do to make it easy? Can I tell you something? Here's the scary part. The gift that God has given you, if you don't use it from Scripture, it looks like you'll lose it. So what God has given you, if you don't use it, you can lose it. Turn to the person next to you and say, if you don't use it, you can lose it. What has God placed in your hand? Be faithful with that. Amen? This is not a burial cloth. This is to allow us to work hard to wipe the sweat of our brow. The good news is Jesus has placed resurrection power on the inside of you, that whatever you put your hands to, that it can be successful. Amen? That's what God requires of us. I want to read something here that I wrote. The cost of not being faithful is far heavier than just being faithful. Turn to the person that you say it's a heavy cost. But what you are obedient with, God will multiply it and cause an increase in your life. I'm going to close with this scripture. Peter, that walked next to Jesus, he made a lot of mistakes and he did a lot of things right. Turn to the person next to you and say, that sounds like me. Peter said, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Can you see that the gift that God has given you is to serve others? As faithful stewards of God's grace and in its various forms. Family, I want to encourage you. Know, number one, that God has given you a gift. Number two, that gift is to serve people. That gift is to glorify God. And whatever gift God has given you, He wants it to increase, to multiply, and to multiply in it so that His name can be glorified. The greatest gift is the gift of love. The greatest gift is people around us. Let us build people up. Let us help people to succeed in life. A matter of fact, when somebody has a gift and they doubt if I should really step out, a brother or a sister that just comes and encourage them and say, why don't you just take that step? Why don't you just go and sing that song? Why don't you just go write that exam? Why don't you just go do that again? And you encourage them. That love and support goes a long way. Be that person that uses the gift of love on the inside to encourage people to reach their full potential. And you'll see God will be the one that will manifest in your life and help you to reach your full potential. See you love.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.